read one familiar verse of Scripture out of Hebrews chapter 4 and then give you what God has given us. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you most of all for what you've done for us at Calvary. And Lord, if there's one sitting in here this morning that might be lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd get saved today. But Lord, as we look into the Word of God, I pray as we preach that, Lord, that you would strengthen your people. Lord, I truly believe that we're living in the very last days of the last days, and you're soon to come. And Lord, I pray that we would strengthen those things which are about to fail. And Lord, that we would go on and serve you until the very end and be found faithful to the very end. But Lord, while we stand to preach today, I pray that you might give us an unction from the Holy One. I pray that you might touch us and anoint us afresh today. And Lord, that your people might find a blessing out of this message and find help and encouragement. Just want to tell you again that we love you. We certainly need your help today and cannot do this on our own. And thank you for having us and keeping us, we pray. Save that sinner's nearest hell. And these things we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at this one verse of Scripture in Hebrews 4 and 12, as he talks about in the prior part of the chapter of entering into rest. And you can go back and read that. But as you verses 1 through 11 deals with entering into God's rest. Now, if you're saved today, you can have God's rest in your heart and in your life. But then the writer changes gears in verse 12, and he begins to deal with the Word of God. I really intended this whole week just about to preach out of Proverbs chapter 14, where the Bible said that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. And I really thought I'd preach on that this morning, but as I was getting ready for bed, I believe it was Friday night, this passage of Scripture just came to our mind and our heart and just flooded it, and I could not get away from it. And as I began to dwell on this and began to think about this, and God give us good liberty, I began to think about how important this book is to our life today. Friend, without this book, we'd be in a mess. Without this book, we'd have nothing to live by, nothing to go by, except our own conscience. And we see what happened in the Old Testament when man lived by conscience, and that alone, that he become corrupt and wicked, and God destroyed the whole earth because of it, save Noah and his family. And I'm going to tell you, when you're looking for an answer in your life, you'll find it out of this book. Can I tell you that prayer time, when we pray, is us talking to God. But when you read your Bible, it's God talking to you. A lot of times I pray, and I'm guilty of this, I pray and want an answer from God, and want Him to instill it in my heart, an answer almost audibly, you know, just to give me. And I know that God gives us peace and direction. I know He gives us peace and to go do things that we need to do. As one fellow told me, he said, when I think I need to do something for the Lord, I start out to do it, and I do it till I hear no, or till I hear stop, and then I stop what I'm doing. But a lot of times we pray and we want God to just kind of answer us when we get done praying. But friend, it really don't work that way. God moves and act by the Holy Spirit and takes this book and uses it inside of our heart to direct our life and guide us. It takes all of it today, friend. It takes the Holy Spirit living on the inside and you putting this book in you where God can use it in your life. Can I say quickly by way of introduction that God takes His Word very seriously. God takes His Word very seriously. He left us 66 books, friend, for us to have and for us to live by. Listen, you know how much God thinks of His name. The Bible said over there, take not the Lord's name in vain. He'll not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. But in Psalms 138 in verse 2, He said, "What? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God puts more on His word than he does his very name. And you know what he thinks about his name. Amen. I listen today. God thinks highly of his word. This book we have right here in front of us is no more than Jesus. And that in word form, we know that in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And we understand that. I don't understand everything. I understand how that a man that was in heaven, that was God himself, come down here and was born among men and died for me and you, and they wrote about it and he rose again. Boy, don't mean to forget that. And then they pinned him into a book. I don't understand how that happened, but I believe it. Amen. I believe it, friend. I believe that this is Jesus Christ in word form today. I believe it today. I'll deal with that here in just a little bit. Well, listen, it's a book that we should dwell on. It's a book that will help you. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He said this godly man, he keeps himself separated from the world. And then the scripture is what he maintains on. He not only reads it, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights. When's the last time you delighted in Scripture? When's the last time that it just joyed you to get to read your Bible, or it joyed you that the preacher stood up and read a Scripture, and boy, you just knew that, man, this thing's about to help me right here. Boy, there's been times I've went to meeting and boy, I needed something from God, and the singing didn't help me, and the fellowship didn't help me. But the preacher stood up behind that pulpit and cracked that book open and began to read, and boy, I knew that I was fixing to get some help. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, it's a book that can help you. We ought to delight in it, and we ought to rely on it. We ought to think about it. He said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Oh, God's word. He thinks about it. She thinks about it all the time, dwells upon it and thinks about it. You say, "Preacher, do you constantly have Scripture in your mind?" And all those, I know we get sidetracked and all that, but friend, I'm going to tell you, I think our mind would be so much cleaner and so much better in our life, would be so much happier if we just meditated in that. On the word of God. I know you got to work. I know you got things to do. But we corrupt our minds so much with things of this world that why can't we just get it cleaned up with the word of God? Then he said this, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Not only does the word of God and that separate and that a man from the world, and not only does the scripture help, but listen right here, he is planted. He is secured and that by the rivers of water, because we're in this book. It helps us to grow and helps us to prosper. Amen. You cannot prosper. Listen to me now. You cannot prosper. I cannot prosper in my Christian life without this book. Can't be done. Can't be done. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He said, and he's a deacon in his church, and he said, "You ever heard them fellers get up and say, 'Well, I've not really studied, and God ain't really given me nothing.'" You know why God ain't really given them nothing? They didn't really study. Amen. I mean, there's been very few times that I have stood up to preach and I've wondered. Hey, listen, there's been times that I've stood up behind this pulpit and wondering what was about to happen. God will always give you something when you've studied and read and prayed. And it may not be what I studied and read and prayed this week, but it may be something that I studied and read and prayed about months ago or years ago that I've studied, and God begins to draw back to my remembrance. That's why it's important to read and study. I'll never forget, I'm getting bogged down in the introduction, but I'll never forget, I have a dear friend of mine, and he used to call me on Saturdays. And listen, for years, I guess from 1998 until 2002, I preached every Sunday morning live on the radio. I was live at 8:30 on Sunday morning. We still have that broadcast. As a matter of fact, I ain't live no more. But I preach live. And so every Saturday, and it's been this way since 1998. You can ask my wife. Every Saturday, she says, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Well, you know one thing. Yeah, I know you got to study today. But what else are we going to do today?" And she knows how my study has always been for years. Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. unless God has really been gracious to me and given me what we needed prior to that. I've been in that study seeking God and reading, but he would call on Saturday afternoon and say, what are you doing? And I'd say, I'm in here studying and trying to get something from the Lord. And so he would call Saturday after Saturday, and I'd talk to him for a little while. And you know, it was probably 5 or 6, maybe 8 or 10 years, he told me, he said, you know, all them times that you were sitting in there studying when I called you, he said, I think to myself, man, that's what I need to be doing too. That's what I need to be doing too. Listen, that's what we all need to be doing. I was doing it because I was scared to try to preach without studying. I'll be honest with you. People say, well, just get up and stand up and open your mouth and God will fill it. It don't work that way, friend. If you ain't studied, God ain't going to fill it. Anyway, let me move on. I got to get on with it. But listen, the longest chapter in the Bible, listen, is Psalms 119 that deals with the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. And God's book will always go out and accomplish what He said it to do in Isaiah chapter 55. Let me say today that it's not a book of fairy tales. A lot of people, they just think that this book is no more than a fairy tale book that man has wrote. But friend, it's more than that. Isaiah chapter 55 said it would go forth and accomplish that which he pleased, and it's going to prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, God said. 1 Corinthians said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But three things I want to look and that about the Word of God today. Three quick things today, and we'll go eat lunch. I want you to notice what it said. Preaching on the power of the Word of God. Notice he said that first of all in the text verse, for the Word of God is quick. That means alive. And that means it's not only fast, if you say quick, but in the Bible, most of the time when you see something about quick or quickened, that means that it is alive. Can I tell you that this is the only book that I've ever seen and ever heard of to be alive. I mean, this book in front of me is quick. And the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that word inspiration means? It means God breathed. Listen, just as sure as God created Adam out of the dust of the earth and he formed him in the likeness of his image, and then the Bible said he breathed unto him the breath of life and man became a living soul. God breathed into this book, and this book become alive and a living creature that we have today, that we hold in our hand. Let me ask you something. You ever read another book like it? You ever seen anything else like this book? You ever seen anything work like that? But how do you know, preacher, that this book is alive? How do you know that it's different than any other book? Listen, it's the only book that can make men and women and boys and girls that are lost without Christ and make them alive in this world. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. 1 Peter 1 said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now the reason some of you don't like this message is because you don't like the Bible. You've got a problem with it. Your flesh don't like to read it. You don't like to take time to read it. You need to take time to just sit down and read your Bible. I'm not wanting you to be a theological scholar. I'm just telling you to read your Bible and then see what God can do with your life. But listen this morning, if it had not been for the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went on to say later on in that chapter in 1 Peter, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He said it's alive, and it's the one book that can make you alive. Is that book right there. The message of Jesus Christ is found in this book. You say, well, I come and prayed and God saved me. How'd you know to come and pray? Well, I got under conviction. How'd you get under conviction? Well, the Holy Spirit moved. What did he move with? He moves with the Word of God. He takes this book and he uses it as the preacher preaches, or as you read it, or as you take a tract that's got Scripture on it, or as some mama tells you the story of Jesus and tells you John 3:16, or tells you John 3:7, where he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Hey, it does something to your heart. Why? It's alive. I can tell you fairy tale after fairy tale. I can tell you story after story, but it ain't going to help you none. But boy, when you begin to tell what Christ has done out of this scripture. All the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. By what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Got a lively hope. But when I got saved, I got a lively hope. Hey, listen, when he rose up, I got a lively hope. When I got saved, I got a lively hope. I'm not dead anymore. I'm not dead. Listen, in my sins, if I'm dead, I'm dead in him today. I'm alive because of him at the same time. Amen. But I've got a lively hope. How about you? What's your hope this morning? This book is alive. It's told me a lively story and gave me a lively hope. Ain't that wonderful today? This book is a living book. It's a living book. Boy, I'm telling you, it's what brings abundant life to the Christian. Not only does it bring salvation and that to the sinner, but it brings an abundant life and that to the saint. Now, the reason some people don't have an abundant life is because they don't read this Bible and they don't trust this Bible. Let me ask you something. How's your faith in Scripture today? How are you believing on Scripture? Can I ask you something? Listen, the Lord said over there, what was it in John 10? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I want abundant life. Amen. I've got eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. But while I'm living here, I want abundant life in Him today. You know where you're going to find abundant life at? In this book right here. He said, for the word of God is quick. It's living. It's living. You know what it does? It makes your life different. Makes your life different. Huh? Let me ask you something. Are you not different now from the time that you got saved? Are you not different now? What made you different? What's made you different than what you were when you first got saved? If you ain't different, there's something wrong. Amen. Let me say this, that if there has been no growth or no maturity, then there's something wrong. I know that people get saved and there's no growth. Because you know what? What did he say? Desire the sincere milk of the word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Some people just never have got into the book. They've just never read. They've just never studied, and all they get is what they get out of my pulpit or maybe from somebody else's. That's all they get. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's why we've got so many weak and anemic Christians today, is because they're not in this book right here. I'll deal with that here in just a minute. Are we okay? All right. I see a few smiles out there and a few people doing this. And I heard a few amens. But listen, one of the things that I see in my own life is that a lot of times I read it, but then do I obey it? Do I do it? What was it that James said? He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I find myself guilty a lot of times of just reading, but have I done what it said to do? You know, if you look at the very last verse in Hebrews 4, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now we know that passage of Scripture. We know that. But do we do that? So that's a simple question, ain't it? Talking about prayer right there. I ain't even talking about getting out of sin or trying to live right. I'm just talking about we know if we come and pray in earnest that God will hear us and God will help us in the midst of our trouble and in our trials. But do we do that? Or do we sit and worry and fold our hands and rub our hands and just wonder what's going to happen? It helps us. This book helps me. This book directs me. This book has made a difference in my life. I remember one thing that my pastor always challenged me to do was to just read my Bible. Just read and study. He would always say, reading clears up a lot of problems. It does. You got a problem in your life? Read the Bible. It'll clear up a lot of it. You don't know about some doctrine? Read your Bible. It'll clear up a lot of it. If you'll just read. You'll get it fixed. You'll get it figured out. But listen, this book is alive. It's what changed my life. It's what's still changing me today. Is this book. I'm not going to tell you that I've got it figured out. I'm not going to tell you, the Apostle Paul said, we've not apprehended. He's saying we've not arrived. We've not got a hold of all of it. And friend, I don't want you to get that misconception that I've got it all figured out. But I do know this one thing, that when I've got a problem, this book can help me. I believe that this morning and know that. And I know it can help you. And boy, if there is ever a time that folks have got problems, it's now, ain't it? Now, we've all got problems. They're personal problems. We don't think anybody else is going through anything. I'll never forget, I was preaching revival up in the mountains. And there was a preacher that I held in high esteem, high regard, and held esteem to him. Very, very great preacher. And got a very, very good Bible-believing church. And I think highly of him. And he come, him and his wife and two kids come to hear me preach that night. And I thought, man, what's this man doing here to hear me preach, you know? And come to find out he had had a dead battery that evening when he went to get in his car and had to swap cars and all that mess to get there. And you know what? That, not pridefully, and this is going to sound crazy to y'all, but I thought to myself, man, I'm glad he had a dead battery. Say, what do you mean you're glad? I'm not glad that he had a dead battery and he had a bad afternoon. But we put people on high regard and look at them in esteem that they never have problems like we do. It wouldn't be unusual for me to go get my truck and roll my truck over and it go click. I mean, I wouldn't think nothing of it if it did. I said, well, it's time to get a new battery. But we think some people just don't have problems, do we? We think somebody, you know, I learned a good lesson that night that everybody has problems. Everybody has problems. And you know what? Him and his wife and two kids, they moved cars and got tired, and she sung that night and done a wonderful job. I don't know if that made sense to y'all, but it made a lot of sense to me. But it's a book that is alive. And it'll make you alive and give you abundant life. Then notice what he said, for the word of God is quick. And then he says it is powerful. It's not only alive, but it's powerful. Now, you can be alive and not have any power, right? I mean, if you're sick, you have no power. If you're weak, you have no power. But listen, this book right here is not only alive, but it's powerful. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Now, that word power means the faculty of doing or performing anything. I've got power to do it. I've got power to walk, I've got power to talk. I got power to pick stuff up, lay down. It means the ability or strength or force. So the Word of God is not only alive, it's not only quickened, and it's not only quickening, but it is all powerful. Listen, when it is preached, that's what changes folks' lives. I'll guarantee you most of you sitting in here heard the Word of God preached somewhere, and that changed your life one day. God took that preacher and he smote your heart with what that man preached. And it worked on your heart. And it wasn't the preacher, it's what he preached, friend. It was the book. Hey, listen, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God. Hey, listen, what is contained in this book is the power of it, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I probably got saved because I had a praying mother. And she testified the night that I got saved, she was standing over there praying for her children. And there were Sunday school teachers that taught us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had preachers over the years of my growing up that stood in that pulpit and told us about Jesus and gave us the Word of God. That's the power of it. Listen, that's what changes young men and young ladies and boys and girls and men and women. It's this book that, listen, gives us power that makes a difference in our lives. You know what? You know, as you read this, you know what gives you power and that to fight the battle? This book. Look at me now. Some of you are going to miss something right here. You know what gives us power to fight the battle? This book right here. I know we pray, I know we hold up the shield of faith, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but we've seen it last week. Ephesians 6 tells us to draw out the sword, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. There's power in it. There's power in it to save the vilest. There's power in it to save the best person in the world that don't know Christ. There's power in it. But there's power in it that can change your home and can change your children. There's power in it and that just makes a difference. I can't get over that of the difference that it makes. The power in it that points out the wrong that's in your life. Oh, the wrong. The wrong. You know, the malice. I heard a great message on that the other day on malice and envy and hatred. The jealousy, the pride. How about the doubt? What helps you through your doubt? Do you doubt? You ever doubted your salvation? How did you get through that? Some of you are looking at me like I've never doubted my salvation. As one feller said, and I'll say it again, some people do not. They get saved and they never wonder whether God saved them again. They never wonder that. But some people do. They wonder that. They think about it. Did I do it right? Did I come the way God said to come? Did I say the right thing? Did I mean the right thing? Listen, the devil will beat you to death with that stuff. But the one thing that I rely on is what the Word of God says. How do I know that I'm saved? Because I know what the Bible says. He said if you would come and ask, He would save. I mean, it is that simple. If I'd come and ask and believe on Him and trust Him, He would save. There's power in this book to calm your mind in the most troubled seas. There's power in it. When it's lived by, there's power in our life. I don't think a Christian can have power lacking two things. Well, three things. One is prayer. One is prayer. Two is separation. But three is the Word of God. Supplication, separation, and Scripture you got to have any power with God. He said, in Proverbs, he said, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. So if you want to be wise, you keep the law of God. He told Joshua in Joshua 23, how the Scripture did, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left. He said, be courageous to do that. Sometimes to live by the law, to live by the Word of God, the law of God, the Scripture, you got to be courageous. Got to be courageous. You got to say, I'm going to do what the Bible says. Whether my children want me to or not, or whether my mom or dad wants me to or not, or whether my in-laws, or whether my outlaws, or whether my husband or my wife, or whoever it may be, I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to live by the Word of God and what it says. Because at the end of the day, you're going to stand before God. It's profitable for instruction and gives us light and a path to go by. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us strength. David said in Psalms 119, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. When's the last time that you have melted over heaviness? When's the last time you ever had a heavy burden? Think about it for just a second. Think back to where something was about to weigh you down and beat you down. You know, Paul talks about another time. He talks about how God comforteth those that are cast down. I studied that this past week, or read that this past week. Have you ever been cast down? You know what the word cast means? It means to be thrown. You cast something, you throw it. He's talking about being thrown down. You ever been cast down? You ever just been deeply sorrowed? You ever been under such a load that friend that you didn't know what you're going to do? He said, my soul melteth for heaviness. You ever been there? Whether you lost somebody you love, whether he's in the middle of a battle or in the middle of a fight, Satan has showed up. You know, I was talking the other day about him. I wished, you know, I said sometimes I wish God would manifest him where I could punch him in the nose. And then I got worried, well, what happens if he did? He ain't going to. I understand that. I'm just saying, what if he did? Because I know he's greater than I am. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But it gives us strength. If you'll read your Bible and trust it and believe it and act on it, it'll give you strength. And it'll help you. Number three, last of all. Let me say this before I go on. Romans 15 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's this book that gives us hope. It's this book that gives us hope. I don't know what you're going through, but if you'll crack your Bible open and read it and believe it and trust it, it'll give you hope. Give you hope for tomorrow. Give you hope for the next day. Listen, we're running. It seems like that our nation just don't have any hope, does it? We're worried to death about what's going to happen. What's going to happen come to the month of November? What's going to happen? Now, if I ever get to preach this message, you'll understand. You know, God is not hanging what he does to our nation by what happens in Washington. He's paying attention to it. He knows what's going on in Washington. But righteousness exalteth the nation, and a sin is a reproach unto any people. It's what the people are doing. It's what God sees in the people. You following me today? I think it does matter who's up there. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me at all. But I think we need to trust the Lord and not what's going on in Washington. Number three. That's just extra. Number three, he said, for the word of God is quick and powerful. And then he said, and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a cutting instrument and a fighting weapon. You're going to fight a battle, you're going to have this book. Matthew chapter 4, what did he say? When Jesus went over there to fight with Satan, he was led up into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted in them 40 days and 40 nights. But yet, at the end of that fasting, he was tempted in that of Satan. And we know that he said, if thou be the Son of God, I turn these stones unto bread. We know that he went over there and told him, if thou be the Son of God, I took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump off here. And he said, angels will bear thee up that thou dash not thy foot against the stone. And he answered him again out of the book of Deuteronomy over there, to tempt not the Lord thy God. And we know that even the last one over there, when he took him and showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time, and he said, you can have all this glory if you would just bow down and worship me. And he says, as it is written, he said, get thee hence, Satan, for as it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How did he win the battle? With the word of God. But he said it's a two-edged sword. Now, notice what the two-edged sword does. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It divides asunder the soul and the spirit. It deals with us spiritually. It deals with your spiritual nature. It deals with your spiritual life. It deals with our our spiritual well-being and our shortcomings. It deals with our spiritualness. It comes in and it knows the deepest things about our spiritual life. It knows those things. It shows us our, the points where we need work at. Would you say that today? Would you say that this book helps you spiritually? How many would say that today? I'd have to say, listen, it's a spiritual book. It's going to help you spiritually if you read it and obey it. It divide, hey, listen, divide asunder the soul and the spirit. It roots its way and gets its way down to the very inside and gets to the core issue. I won't even say the core problem. Sometimes you may not have a problem. Well, we've got a problem. But listen, the core issue in your life today, and it'll work it out if you'll let it. It deals with us spiritually, the spiritual aspect of man. It deals with it if we'll let it. I'm determined that most people don't want to read the Bible, and I say most people because I fit into that category because it knows us. You remember what it said over in the book of James, that it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass? You come and read this thing, it is a mirror. It shows you what you are. It shows me what I am. Listen, he said, pierce him, divine the center of the soul and spirit. It deals with our spiritualness or our lack of it, ever how it works, and of the joints and the marrow. Now, I understand that the whole outcome of what he's trying to tell us is that it gets into the deepest and roots its way in or cuts its way in out to the deepest and knows the deepest. But listen, it's divine the soul and the spirit of the spiritual part of man. But then the joints and marrow, it deals with the fleshly part of man. This book tells us how to live. This book in the flesh. This book tells us how to control ourselves. This book teaches us how to have power to control ourselves. Right? You don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. A lot of people think they have to sin. No, you don't have to sin. No. Are you teaching perfection? I'm teaching you that we don't have to sin. That's what I'm telling you. A lot of people, they just sit and they think, well, you know, well, we're going to mess up anyway, so we might as well just go ahead and just get forgiveness. Man, I'd hate to live that way. I'd hate to think that way. I want to please the Lord. I don't want to sin. But it deals with our flesh. He talks about being separated out of the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. It deals with our flesh, how we should control our flesh. You know, it talks about our mouth. It talks about how we should speak, how we should act, how we should react. It talks about our conversation. Conversation is not what you're saying, but conversation is our deportment and how we carry ourselves in this world. Hey, it deals with our flesh, this book does. It deals with your spiritualness, your spiritual situation between you and God. It deals with how spiritual you are, how much you are not. But it deals with our flesh. It shows us where we need to fix or where we need to keep on going the way that we're going. And is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It deals with us mentally. It deals with you spiritually, physically, and mentally. It knows the thoughts, a discerner, that means it can figure it out, it discerns it. A discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know that stuff that's on the deepest, on the inside, that nobody else knows and nobody else sees and you don't tell nobody about? It knows all about it. Knows all about it. It teaches us how to clean our mind. It teaches us how to have a clean mind, not a corrupt mind. Helps, and I preached on that just last week. Listen, it helps us to be able to serve God. You know, he said, what was it? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. It teaches us how to do that. Teaches us how to have the right thoughts. You remember in the book of Philippians over there, he gives us a whole list, and he says, therefore, think on these things. He gives us things to think on. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets to the inside of us and works on us and deals with us. Years ago, there was a family that came to this church and sat back here in the left-hand corner. And this has been years ago. And their daughter got saved here. And one thing I've learned about moms and dads, they started coming because their youngest daughter began to ask questions about getting saved. And the mom and the dad and the daughter and her little son started coming. And in the middle of revival, Brother Billy Ricker was preaching revival that week. I can remember her coming and getting saved that week in revival. I remember that very well. And it wasn't too long after that that they started missing a little bit. And it was hit a little here and missed a little there. And then it was hitting a little here and missing a lot there. And so I remember running into them out to the hospital. Me and Kelly run into the wife, and we talked to her. And he didn't want to come because every time he came, he felt guilty. I said, well, the reason he's guilty is because they set Mary needs to deal with. I mean, she was astonished. She stood over there in the hospital and told us he don't want to come because he feels guilty because of something. You know what? When the Word of God is read or preached or taught, if there's something wrong in your life, you ought to feel guilty. You should. You know what? I want people to come in here and I want them to feel welcome. I want anybody out of this whole world to come in here and sit down and feel welcome to be here by this church. But if there's something wrong between them and God, I sure don't want them to be comfortable. I want them to be uncomfortable. I want God to be able to work on their life and on their heart. You know, here's what me and my wife told her. She said, you just need to come on. You just need to come on without him. You just need to come on. And maybe he'll keep on coming. Maybe he'll come if he'll keep coming. And she done that maybe two or three times. And that's it. That's it. The Word of God, it gets down on the inside and it begins to work on you. And so you know what people do? They either let it work on them or they try to get away from it. One or the other. And here's the thing about the Word of God. The more the Bible talks about it being like a hammer that breaketh the rocks into pieces. In the book of Jeremiah, it talks about it being a fire. Listen, it just begins to get down on the inside and it begins to work, and you're going to have to do something with it. It gets and works its way and cuts its way down to the inside. And it gets to the problem, whether it's spiritual, whether it is physical, or whether it is mental, it begins to work its way to the problem. What do you think about the Word of God this morning? You need it, and I need it in our life. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. I'm going to pray. And if you need to come and pray, we're going to have no music this morning, but if you need to come and pray, if you need to come and do business with God, you don't have to sit there. You can pray where you're at, I know that, but if you want to come to this altar and pray and say, Lord, I just need some help. I need some help out of your book. I need some direction. Would you please open it for me? This book can help you this morning, whatever you need. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for helping us. We pray that this message went out, and we know that it will go out and accomplish what you've set it for to do. But Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray that because of what Jesus done at Calvary, that he lived and died and was buried and rose again, that Lord, because of that message, it affects their heart, and you deal with them by the Holy Spirit, showing them that they're sinners and need to come and get saved. I pray they'll move today and get saved. Lord, I ask if there's somebody that's got a need, I pray that need would be met. But let us all see the importance of the Word of God in our life today. Would you please deal with our hearts about this, about the importance of this book. In these very last days, we need it more and more than anything to live by. Would you help us with it? We love you. Thank you, Lord. Help in this invitation, for this in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed. If you need to come and pray this morning, I want you to come.